Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, where you hear about the business of the casino entertainment industry from the people who make it happen. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of Global Gaming Business, and this week we speak with Lee Amatis, the president and CEO of Cantor Gaming, on his company's progress with wireless gaming in Nevada. Amatis was instrumental in passing the law in Nevada that approved wireless gaming for state casinos. He explains how his company's expertise in financial transactions was a natural conduit to its now accepted wireless wagering system. Starting in the United Kingdom, Cantor Gaming has become the recognized expert in wireless gaming and recently completed a test at the Venetian and signed a contract to provide services at the M Club, which will be opening in March of 2009. He spoke with me at his offices in Las Vegas in mid-October. Lee Amatis, thanks for joining us on the Global Gaming Business Podcast. We finally get a chance to sit down with you. Cantor Gaming has always been on the cutting edge of the gaming industry, and I'm anxious to hear about some of your new products and services. Let's talk about the technology that really launched the company and the purpose of the company when it launched, which was, 6 or 7 years ago?
It's about 5 years now for our Nevada investment. The underpinning of the tech, by the way, thank you, Roger, for having me.
Sure.
The underpinning of the technology was from our financial services group.
Mm-hmm.
So in the world of financial services, we act as an intermediary between banks mm-hmm. and dealers around the world. So our technology is electronically connecting people to things such as trading U.S. Treasury bonds.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And that has to be done in a very secure and speed environment.
Uh-huh.
So we have our underpinning technology is actually a platform called eSpeed,
uh-huh.
and it does most of its connectivity in a global environment, well, all of its connectivity actually in a global environment that connects the wholesale marketplace for financial products such uh-huh. as U.S. Treasuries, foreign exchange, things of this nature. And that's a peer-to-peer where people trade against the bid-offer spread.
Uh-huh.
So that was the underpinning of the technology. Because it's mission critical, because it is encrypted, because it is of a serious nature of a transaction, we also were in the bookmaking business in the UK. So from our businesses out in London, we had a business called Cantor Index, which processed financial bets
uh-huh.
to the retail industry.
Okay.
So instead of, which is basically the traders of the wholesale industry.
Right.
So that they became our clients. So it's like a twofold purpose. So we have the bank as a client, and then we have the traders as a client, or other people within the bank as a client that want to take a bet, let's say, on the movement of an indice,
uh-huh.
the Dow Jones, the FTSE, or whatever,
sure.
you know.
Right.
And that was done in Cantor Index. Now, in order to make Cantor Index more interesting, we decided that we thought it was a good idea to start investing in mobile technology.
Uh-huh.
And we thought that the world would actually move to be out of the office sort of access.
Okay.
So we spent years of development on mobile technology, which was well ahead of its time for the wholesale market industry, and that started the underpinning of the application here in Nevada.
Okay. Let's take your products one at a time. I want to start with the online gaming component. How is that developed? And I know you have an online casino in the UK, but where does that stand today?
Well, the online space is an interesting space, obviously, because it's legal in the UK and other jurisdictions around Europe, where it's not legal in the United States. And we have been very, very careful about how we offer our services out. We view the online space as sort of a test bed for our games and the popularity of games that we have created. We have a lot of proprietary content that people have not yet seen, that
right.
we're actually still in sort of the QA portion of this, and that's where we use the online space to do it. Now, we also have it involved for the fact that any of our casino partners in Nevada who want to be able to use the online world in the Europe or the UK
uh-huh.
as a platform to advertise, they can use it through Cantor Casino. So that's really what the purpose of the online business is. It's not really to compete in the world head-to-head of Party or 888. We're more of a technology provider to a client base that wants to expand this footprint.
Okay.
Next product, and the product you're most known for in the U.S. and specifically in Nevada, is the wireless gaming product. You've got a test of a handheld wireless system you're calling eDeck at the Venetian. Can you tell me how that's been accepted by both the casino and the customer?
Well, we got to go back a little ways now, because you know, the purpose of this was is that, again, 5 years ago when we came to Nevada to actually introduce the idea of mobile gaming, mm-hmm. it was with a much broader stroke than where we are today.
Right.
I mean, we were a little bit more ambitious in what we could actually do in mm-hmm. terms of, although the technology existed,
right.
The regulations didn't exist. Mm-hmm. So we went through the process of learning what can be done. And then working with the regulators, obviously, we went through the whole process of writing a bill, getting a bill passed in the state, and then once the governor signed the bill, at the time was then able to offer mobile gaming within the confines of a resort,
uh-huh.
which is broadly written in that spec too. What it means really is you can gamble anywhere in the resort. That's in the public, uh-huh. not in private. So
right.
your rooms, you can't do it, uh-huh. and in the parking garage, even though it's public, it's not under surveillance.
Right.
So they consider that to be a no-go space.
Okay.
So you're able to gamble in restaurants, uh-huh. swimming pool, you know, other places around the casino floors of the properties that will enhance people's ability to not have to go sit at a table if they don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
So that was part of the attraction. And then getting it approved and having the regs done in Nevada was obviously, you know, a long process, but a very good education process. I think that we are well ahead of the pack in terms of doing this, because
mm-hmm.
we've been sort of cutting edge all the way through this. The concept of having a casino partner like LVS at the time was very important to us, because they saw the value right away of something that could be brand new in the industry, that would be incremental revenue to them, not cannibalism
sure.
revenue. Uh-huh. And I think that was a very important part of our process here, to have them on board. So the field trial took place in Venetian.
Okay.
The field trial reports have been, you know, very good in the sense that we have asked specific questions. The casino has asked specific questions as to what people want to do with it. The interesting part, which I couldn't have wrote better if I wanted to write a script, was that most of the patrons said that they wouldn't use it on the casino floor,
uh-huh.
which is what exactly the
right.
casinos wanted
right.
to hear,
exactly.
right? So I was very good. And
uh-huh.
I think that they liked the technology. The criticisms have been constructed in the sense that more games,
uh-huh.
you know, different access, that, you know, is the screen bigger, smaller? So all of the things that we have sort of been working on,
uh-huh.
ready to go forward once we come out of field trial, we see beneficial in terms. So I think an uptick is, I think we're going to see people very interested in using it. The patrons that I observed watching using it seemed to like it, enjoyed it. And it's a pretty good experience for someone that is maybe intimidated by sitting at a table.
Sure.
And also it's a good learning curve for people that want to learn how to game certain things. And again, like I said, we have a lot of surprises in sort of in our arsenal of proprietary games we think will be interesting.
Okay. Now, did you ask some demographic questions, like actually, you know, what were the age of the people that used it? Because I would imagine, you know, the younger customer would be much more apt to play it because they use handhelds anyway.
We had a broad spec. the only unfortunate thing was that where we actually offered it in a confined space, because of obviously through the field trial you have to be heavily regulated, was in the high roller slot area.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to do, the casino actually did a very good job in dragging people in to market to them. And they had a pretty broad mix of demographics. Interestingly enough, there was sort of a broad scale. I would have thought you would have seen less slot play and mm-hmm. more table game play, because
right.
you could do all slots all over the place.
Sure.
But it was a pretty broad stroke. It was across the board. And
mm-hmm.
I think that what you see is There was no one age demographic that said yes or no.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think all that used it liked it.
Right. Now, what kind of games did you offer on the device? Was it a wide variety of games?
Well, we had basic roulette, blackjack, baccarat, and a couple of video pokers and a couple of slot games. So there was not a lot of content. Right. There was pretty basic content, and that was, you know, based on the fact that the field trial had to have a concise amount of content in it. So it was limited in what content you could have on it. We have a library of new content that will be able to go once we get past field trial and as new games get introduced. So we think that it's going to be pretty exciting for the public to be able to see. One of the things we're trying to accomplish, and I think that we're getting there from a demographic point of view, is, again, understanding that the casino is our partner and that the casino's concerns have been in the past, is this going to be incremental to me? Our concern is to try to build things that are not readily available on the casino floor.
Okay.
So the new type of games that technology can only deliver.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that has to do with different type of graphics on sort of games, different aspects of things on how to play blackjack, how to play roulette, and how to play baccarat, where you have a second chance or an extra odds type of thing.
Right.
So it remains to be seen how stuff will come out, but I think we've done a lot of work on trying not to offer vanilla.
Mm-hmm.
We offered vanilla in the field trial because
that's
what we had to do, but we're going to have not vanilla going out afterwards.
Okay, so you'll have, I guess, some of the games you'll introduce there were, again, games you tested maybe on the internet platform?
Part of them were there, and part of them were still, it's still in QA here, so we're still doing them here. We feel pretty confident that when you start thinking about what you could offer at a table as opposed to what you can offer on technology. I mean, there's so many things you could offer on a technology platform that a table just can't hold.
Right.
I mean, you can't build a table that sophisticated.
Sure.
I mean, you could build an electronic table game, but what we have done is basically taken the concept of electronic table games and put it into a handheld device so that you can walk around with it.
Right.
So, I mean, I think that's where our value is. And I think that again, like anything else, the one beauty of having it on a server-based platform such as ours, if it works, it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't work, you get rid of it and get another one.
Right.
Because it's not like you have to go through a whole real estate exchange. You're just, all you're doing is dropping one and adding another one.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the beauty of server-based growth. And I think the industry has seen that from their own investment in terms of server-based slot machines on the floor.
Sure.
You know?
Is there any discussion with any other slot companies or even some of the electronic table game companies of using their content on there?
We have content deals. We have deals with go off record for 1 minute. Can you just stop for 1 second? I just want to make sure I could say this.
Let me ask that question.
Okay.
Any deals with other slot companies or table game providers that you can add to your content on the handheld?
We have content deals today in place. We have deals with PGI for the content that they have, such as Texas Hold'em Bonus Poker, Caribbean Stud, a couple of other games that they have in terms of on our platform. We have a content deal with Atronic for their games on our handheld. And we have a deal with Aristocrat for their games on our handheld as well. So we're open to content. We've developed, like I say, a lot of our own. And we are also, we're in the process of where we have a lot of game developers come to us and say, look, I have this game.
Right.
So we have a pretty much open platform to sit with them and talk about new game development and what we think might be exciting. That's one of the things about having an online and what I would call an on-site server base is if you think the game has any traction whatsoever, then you could just roll it out. If it doesn't gain traction, it just goes away.
Right.
It's not like you have to go remove 20 machines from somewhere.
Right.
So
no hardware involved.
Exactly. You could see us providing quite a bit of mix of content in the future.
Mm-hmm. Okay. About sports bets, I know you didn't have it in the test, but it sounds like a natural kind of thing that you could, even on the casino floor while you're playing blackjack, you could make a sports bet.
Well, that's something that we've been focusing on too. I mean, that was part of, after we got licensed ourselves, basically, in the process of going into field trial, you know, our whole aspect of this business is to be able to provide a platform for people to do wagering or gaming, and whether they do it in the comfortability of a restaurant seat or a lounge chair or wherever, they could actually access all types of games. So, which is also race and sports. So we think that race and sports is a natural addition to the platform. We have a software package that will be available on race and sports for the mobile device. As you may or may not know, that we have a deal with M Resort, which will be opening in March, to provide their race and sports platform both physically in the casino and mobilely around the casino. So it'll be our software, our driving systems that will power M's race and sports book, as well as do their mobile gaming too. So we feel that the world of race and sports in Nevada offers a very, very broad platform for us, because we've been doing it in the UK, and the difference between the UK and the US in terms of race and sports is something called in running. And what in running is the event doesn't, the start of the event doesn't prevent you from betting again. Whereas here, the start of the event prevents you from betting again. Whereas in the UK, the start of the event actually encourages you to bet more, basically through the so opening and closing of your bets, so to speak. So it gives you the opportunity to say, well, I like them here. I still like them. I don't like them. I want to get rid of them, right? So, and I think that that's sort of the concept that the window never closes. And there's always going to be a line on something because it's only time decayed that moves in line. So we have a full suite of software that is going to be able to provide in-running sports lines as broad as things as balls and strikes. If someone wants to bet on the next pitch, we could do it.
Or in football, the run or a pass.
And one of the things that and the way that has to be delivered, and this is no knock to current sort of sports activities in Nevada. The technology investment is massive to do that. Because you're talking about algorithms to build pricing. You're talking about a lot of things. And we've been doing that investment over the years to be able to provide those lines. And the manpower behind it would be impossible for Nevada to be able to offer what's the next strike or ball, so to speak, because how do you do it? It happens too fast. You need to have a technology platform that says touch so that you can continue to move. So I think that we're pretty excited about offering that content. We think that we can have a package for casinos that will be able to, whether we operate their book, which is what we're doing at M, or whether we provide just lines to them. We think that that's going to be pretty exciting part of our business.
Now, at the Venetian and Palazzo, we're talking about an actual device that you get from the casino. Is there an application where you can use it on your mobile phone?
The software is not restricted from being able to be used on any mobile device. The regulations don't allow that.
So we're
actually manufacturing devices, right? So we are going to the position that we are not only an operator, but we're an supplier and basically a manufacturer of these devices. So we've currently in the field trial a device that was put into place 3, 4, or 5 years ago. We have a new device coming out when we come out of field trial, which will come out at Venetian and Palazzo, and then next year we will have another style device that comes out in the early part of next year, which is all geared towards sort of customer acceptance. You know, the technology is wireless technology is interesting in the sense that people could say, well, you could do it on a cell phone. Yes, you can. And you can do it very easily on a cell phone. The encryption on a cell phone is not as clear as you would have the encryption on something that's a wireless device within the confines of a casino. So in order to be part of the regulatory process, you know, this is a growing curve of how the regulators here feel comfortable in being able to offer product, and we're aligned with them completely. We want to make sure that everybody's understanding that this is something that can't be cracked, that can't be damaged, that can't be put into a position where the integrity of it has to stand up. So you could see gambling on cell phones in the UK easily today. is the encryption value of that wager as secure as the one that's going to be on our device in London? Mm-hmm. Nevada? Mm-hmm. No. The answer to that is no. Will technology get there?
Yeah.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
Technology will get there. Okay. And, of course, we're going to be involved with that as soon as we can.
Sure, absolutely. Well, let's talk about the UK. You have a division there that utilizes wireless gaming as well. Explain the specifics of the operation and how that's been performing.
Well, we offer a couple of different things in the UK. Right now, we offer, as I said to you before, Keener Index, which is the wagering on financial products, which is termed as spread betting. Now, spread betting is actually buying or selling the activity of something. So if I will put it in the context of, let's say, a sports bet. In the context of a sports bet, let's say the line is 6.5 on a game. Now, what spread bettors will do is they make a two-way price. Mm-hmm. So they'll make that, instead of 6.5, yeah, they'll make that 6.3 to 6.6 or 6.4 to 6.6. Mm-hmm. You buy the 6.6 or you sell the 6.4. Mm-hmm. And you buy for increments of that decimalized change, right? So, and then what happens is it's a makeup. So if the team wins by 7 and I bought it at 6.6, mm-hmm, I picked up 4, right? So then, and if I bet $100, I won 400. Mm-hmm. If I sold at 6.4 and the team lost, I would lose 6. Mm-hmm. So I lost 600 on my bet. So it's a volatile bet in the sense that it is, the spreads can be, swings could be massive, especially, mm-hmm, like if you get a pro football game where there's a complete blowout of the, let's say the underdog blows out the favorite,
right,
you could have a massive swing of price, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that you would have, in order to bring spread betting into Nevada, which we have done some field trial and test with sort of customer surveys, there has been some interest. I just don't know if it's going to be that sticky of a product. So but we do that in the UK, and in the underlying in the UK, people understand it. So they understand the buying and selling of spreads all the time. Mm-hmm. We also offer fixed odds, and the fixed odds is a business that we basically have been on the cutting edge of, and the fixed odds is movements in the market. So you could bet 5-minute movements, mm-hmm, in any market. So if I wanted to buy the 5-minute movement on the Dow Jones, mm-hmm, I could make a wager on Dow Jones for the next 5 minutes. And basically all it is I bet $5.
Yeah.
I lay in odds, mm-hmm, and then if it goes above the number I picked, then I wind up winning my bet. If not, I tear up my ticket just like a wager,
right,
at a racetrack. So if you think about it as a point in time in a race, mm-hmm, where I bought performance,
right,
and that's what we've created. And we licensed that to Ladbrokes in the UK. So, mm-hmm, we licensed that to a big fixed odds bookmaker in the UK, and that's been a very successful product. It's something that I find very, very exciting from the Cantor point of view because it's sort of a Cantor homegrown, built, designed, and offered product, and, uh-huh, and we chose Ladbrokes as the partner because they're a premier front-end fixed odds brand. Because Keener's not in the fixed odds gambling business, uh-huh, here we'll be.
Right.
Because what we've been able to do is build off of that investment in the UK, uh-huh, and to be able to build the algorithms to be able to price here in the US.
Uh-huh.
So those are the things we're doing in the UK. The technology advances. You'll see more and more stuff that's happening. I mean, our online business is as I mentioned before, a sort of a placeholder for us to be able to do things for business partners in terms of the online space. And I think that we feel very confident about the growth of mobile gaming. And a lot of our focus over the last 3 years specifically has been Nevada to make sure that we make this the premier state for mobile gaming.
Right.
Looking for the most informative weekly publication in the gaming industry? Subscribe to Global Gaming Business Weekly, the only electronic news magazine that brings the news of the gaming industry to your desktop every Monday morning. Global Gaming Business Weekly is a complete publication with information on the gaming industry in the U.S., Europe, Asia, and beyond. Read about the latest moves in Indian gaming, the updated research about problem gaming, the breaking news that will impact everyone in the gaming industry all in one publication. Global Gaming Business Weekly is read by all the top executives in the gaming industry before they start their work week. Shouldn't you? To subscribe, go to the Global Gaming Business website, www.ggbmagazine.com. Click on the Global Gaming Business Weekly icon. Don't be the last to know. Read Global Gaming Business Weekly every Monday morning.
Wireless system is not only approved here in Nevada, it's approved in New Jersey and I believe in Mississippi too, is that correct?
No, it's only approved here in Nevada right now.
Okay.
Right.
They are looking at it though. Well,
everybody's looking at it, waiting to see what Nevada does. I think it's one of the reasons why we chose Nevada, because it's the blue chip state, not to say anything bad against Mississippi or New Jersey, but right. I think the point of, you know, everybody understands that Nevada is sort of the place where people look to or regulations in gaming and new things, and I think that that's why we chose here. Plus, also getting licensed here and making sure that it works. I think if we chose one of the other states, I think we still would have had to come to Nevada to get it passed.
Right.
And you know, because it's a significant investment for the firm. I mean, we couldn't do it in multiple jurisdictions all at
right.
once. We wanted to make sure that we could get it one right,
mm-hmm.
and then go from there.
Right.
You know?
So you get it right in Nevada, you can go to New Jersey and say, you know, just show them the tests that you've done here.
Exactly.
You can still have to do tests there. That's the way
I'm assuming that we're going to pass the bar in sort of every state that
mm-hmm.
allows gambling, and that's fine. But I think that we can go there with a base that says, this is what we've done so far. This is the software. This is who approved it. And I think Nevada holds a pretty big blue chip in that arena, so
uh-huh.
that people could say, well, if you did it there, I'm sure that we could do this.
Right. Now, did you have to go to a service like GLI to begin with to have them vet the system first?
All of our software has been GLI vetted,
mm-hmm.
and that comes from the online space, too.
Yes.
So you want to get GLI approved software to operate in the online space. In what I would say recognized jurisdictions such as Malta,
right.
where sort of that's the blue chip for online gaming licenses,
right.
you need GLI approved software. So our software gets approved as GLI, and then we can bring it over here. It's not a requirement that I can understand of Nevada.
No.
Nevada approves its own,
right. mm-hmm.
but it doesn't hurt to have
right.
it.
Right, right. Exactly. In the slot market, you know, the phrase is content is king. Is that the same phrase in the wireless gaming market? Do you need to have some really attractive content to be successful?
Don't know. It might be too soon to tell. I can only give you my opinion. I think my opinion is that based on how we want to build the business, I think that our approach has been that we do not want to, you know, casino operators are our clients and our partners,
uh-huh.
and they have a significant investment in real estate. And I think that we want to make sure that they're not seeing us as something that's going to come in because we want a rev share on the things that we do.
Uh-huh.
So I want them to make sure that they understand that we have, you know, significant investment in the game, and that's our business model. Our business model is that we put up all of the money
uh-huh.
to put the system in place, and that we are, and then we have a rev share with the operator once the system is in place.
Okay.
So it's a long answer to your question about content. I think the beauty of the system is that we can change on a dime
right.
content.
Mm-hmm.
So maths are approved. Once you get maths approved and the system approved,
mm-hmm.
then changing games is a pretty, not simple process, but
right.
it's just a process. You just go through the process. So you could introduce new stuff all the time. And
right.
I think that that's what's going to be exciting for us, to be able to do it on a platform.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it's like today's news is better than yesterday's news, right? You want to take a look and see what's brand new and what's the next best thing in terms of technology. I think that we are looking at delivering to the client, to the patron, basically something that is new and exciting and doesn't get stale.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that you can do that with a mobile gaming platform because you have a broad stroke of being able to provide all sorts of content.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but you're bringing your own system here that works with your handheld. You don't interact with any other system at this point except for, I imagine, the player rating system.
This is our system.
Uh-huh.
Our system. We designed it, engineered it,
uh-huh.
built it, could say invented
yeah.
big
uh-huh.
parts of it. And I think that we are, and then we will API or, you know, to
uh-huh.
the systems in place in the casino. So if they want player tracking, we have our own player tracking okay. unit within the system. Uh-huh. But if the casino wants to get access to that player tracking, then what we do is we just write a handshake to their software, and okay. it says, okay, here's what the player's doing mobily. Uh-huh. So see, it's not we built this in mind to say that this is sort of a bolt on to what you could do, uh-huh. or you could adapt to use our player tracking. It's right. it's sort of open architecture software for that part of it. Uh-huh. For the back end of it, they could actually get involved and say, okay, this is what I want to see what a client does, this and that. I think one of the key things about mobile gaming is it's account wagering, uh-huh. right? So you're not putting money in a box, right? You're actually account wagering. So there is a stickiness of the client to the property, uh-huh. basically. So the property gets to see and has a relationship with the client in the sense that if you have an account, right. in order to play, you have to have actually money on right. account.
And it's not like just putting $10 into a machine and playing anonymously.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So this is a more of a relationship type of business, mm-hmm. which I think is part of the challenges as well, too, mm-hmm. because I think as people go through this, I mean, look, there's a lot of people that come to Las Vegas that have accounts. Mm-hmm. I mean, and basically they have either credit lines or front money accounts, and mm-hmm. there's a whole pile of them, but sure. I'm sure there's a lot of demographic that doesn't have accounts. Mm-hmm. It just comes with a certain budget that says, I'm going to spend this money.
Right.
So that's the challenge to get that. I think that, you know, once you get into operators that are offering, and again, the world's changing, right? So you have casinos that are offering rewards and all sorts of incentives to come and stay with them, and whether it be lower room rates or, you know, other type of things that they could do, I think what will happen is as you could reach the player through this mobile gaming environment, mm-hmm. it's gonna broaden their customer base. So I think that's going to be attractive for them.
Okay. Obviously, you know, we're coming into an era now of server-based gaming, which is, you know, we think, anyway, going to finally start getting into the casinos. I mean, we've been talking about it for a long time, but it looks like with City Center now coming on with a slot floor all server based, that's finally going to happen. How is your system going to interact with those systems, and certainly whenever Bally and IGT get their system together?
Well, remember, we're a server based system.
Right.
I mean, that is the fundamentals exactly. of mobile gaming, to be mm-hmm. server based. We don't build boxes. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not a box manufacturer, right. so I'm not in competition with those guys. But in the sense that I am a content mm-hmm. provider to on a mobile gaming platform, will they come and want to get into the mobile gaming space? Possibly. Mm-hmm. I think that the reality of this is that I don't intend to be in the box manufacturing business. Right. We are technology and infrastructure and delivery providers. Uh-huh. So I think that, you know, having content deals with people such as Aristocrat, Natronic, and PGI uh-huh. show that we're an open book to have uh-huh. people put their content on our platform.
Right.
So they don't need to compete with us in that space. They could actually come and sit with us and say, okay, I want to use these games and put uh-huh. them on your platform. I think that's the way it's going to go.
How about you using their platform, though, in terms of the server-based platform?
I think that if we had games mm-hmm. that they'd be interested in, yeah, sure. There's no reason why we wouldn't sit down with them and have a conversation about that. I think that content is – it depends on how people see the content and what's related to the change of the content. I mean, if it was just a great sort of next slot game that we designed and mm-hmm. we thought was going to have – yeah, I wouldn't have a problem with that.
Mm-hmm. What kind of safeguards does the eDEC system have that so that underage and problem gamblers can't access it?
Well, it has a two-key entry. Mm-hmm. So once you go to the – so once let's go right from the beginning. So pre-registration. So I go to a place in the Venetian or the Palazzo, and I walk up to the desk and I say, okay, I want to do mobile gaming. So there's a brief sort of run-through. If you're already a player that has a player's card – the process goes a little bit quicker because then they just swipe your card and they put you into the system, and then you say, I want to do mobile gaming, and right. then you deposit on your account. Mm-hmm. And then what they'll do is they'll give you a two-key access. What one comes in the form of a wristband mm-hmm. that has a microchip in it, okay. or as we go forward, we'll have them in the player cards. So mm-hmm. there'll be chips in the player cards as well. Once you get that, then you get the device. And that, let's say that's the initial sign-on. Anytime after that, once you just go to the to a station and say, look, I have money in my account, could I just take out a device? They'll just ask you for your ID, and they'll log out a device to you. And then you just take that player card or that wristband, and you touch it to the device, and then it asks you for a PIN.
Okay.
So then you don't have to enter a password, so it's a two-key entry.
Okay.
If the key leaves you, then the device goes cold.
Yeah.
And regs have written that the key will go to sleep after a while. Within 30 minutes, it goes to sleep just to prevent it from being laid down because it's small,
right?
And people could use it because it's like I say, it's account wagering. So it goes to sleep with inactivity. And it also goes to sleep in a sense that if I passed it to someone else, if they didn't have my key entry, and then when it went to sleep, if they didn't have my password, they can't get on.
Right.
So we've gone through the double process. Again, responsible gaming is going to be another part of it, too.
Right.
I mean, because it's in surveillance areas, we would hope that no underage people are going to use it. We can only guarantee that we have put in the safeguards we think that will prevent people from, first of all, they can't get one because they have to prove that they're of age.
Right.
The only way they could ever get one is if somebody handed it to them and were using it with somebody else's money.
Right.
So, I mean, I think we've crossed some barriers here that prevents them from actually gaming on it.
Okay. Is that the reason it's not allowed to be used in the hotel rooms?
The privacy issue of the hotel rooms, I think, is well, I'm not sure we want to get into that, whether it's a debate or not. I think reality is that the regulators felt comfortable that they wanted it in a area of surveillance, and I think that had part to do with it, right? Because obviously it could fall into the hands of a minor. Could the minor actually put money on it? No. Could the minor take money off of it? No,
right.
Because they have to go to the window to do it. But could the minor actually wager on it if somebody irresponsible handed it to him? Yes.
Yeah.
And
but
we
couldn't get the money off it, so what's the point?
And we need to prevent that, obviously. So I think being under surveillance is going to be the key. There are other things that our technology evolves that will prevent people from being able to use it if they're underage too. And I think that's just a matter for the regulators to feel comfortable with the platform itself.
We're talking, the government is talking about, looking at this UIGO law that passed last year and revamping it and maybe even permitting online gaming in the United States. Is this something that Cantor is playing a role in?
Not officially. Mm-hmm. We have not taken any lobby effort into the online gaming space. I think that we have built our business around offering services where regulations and jurisdictions are approved. If the jurisdiction in the United States became an approved base, then I'm sure that we would look into offering services in the U.S. I'm not sure where that goes, and I think that I have opinion about. There are a lot of people that are invested in the gaming business in the U.S. that may or may not want to see online be in the best interest of gaming. At the same token, it offers a fair amount of revenue flow that could generate a lot of tax. So I think at some point in time in the future, somebody's going to have to look at the regulation of it and whether or not they want to offer it. I think it has a place, but it has a place that's going to be needed to be heavily regulated and put in a position to where it's going to actually not cause issues in terms of problem gambling.
Okay. Do you have a poker module for the eDeck that where you can actually have an online poker game going on?
Yes, we do. Mm-hmm. We also have one of the pieces of software that will be rolled out sort of in a couple of generations as these games get approved, is we have a head-to-head poker module that we think is going to be pretty exciting in the sense that poker is an interesting game, right? You have to have if you're playing, obviously the greatest thing now is Hold'em, and it's got the greatest momentum, and it's caused poker sites and online and all these things are just blowing through numbers of people's imagination of saying how many people play poker. I think that one of the things for us is an involvement of, if you're playing handheld poker in a peer-to-peer situation, One of the things that is going to be interesting is that how do you do it if there's four or five of you sitting around a table? So we have to protect against, obviously, collusion. Mm-hmm. When you're doing internet-based or server-based right. type of software, you have to protect against. You have to have software that protects against collusion. I think one of the easiest ways to do that is to build just a head-to-head model.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then in a head-to-head model, what you have is people doing sort of a heads-up play, mm-hmm. even to the event that I think that poker players, while they're playing hard card, real card poker at right. a table, will be playing heads up with someone on the device
right.
because they're multitasking guys anyway. They
sure.
always do. So
that's
I think
right.
it's a, I think that that's an attraction for us that we'll say we can have a head-to-head game going on with a player at a table
right.
while he's folding eight out of his 10 hands, basically,
right.
because that's the nature of playing poker.
Yeah, no question. Where would you like to see Cantor in 5 years from now?
Well, I mean, Cantor, the parent company, obviously, is a very successful provider of financial services, you know, around the world. And I think that that footprint continues to grow. Cantor's subsidiary or business that launched BGC, which is B. Gerald Cantor, which was the rebuild of the business that was lost after 9/11, is moving in a significantly strong growth environment. So the Cantor companies are doing quite well. Cantor Gaming is a division of Cantor that has basically been born out of the interest of technology and the processing of transactions, and wagering being nothing but a process of a transaction.
Uh-huh.
And I think that gives us a very broad stroke to be able to grow. I see our company growing significantly quickly in the next 2 to 3 years. You know, coming out of approval, getting the platform approved, getting the system in place, I think is, you know, major league steps. I mean,
uh-huh.
if you did this interview with me 6 months ago, I probably would have said, I'm waiting.
Yeah,
you know,
right,
now,
exactly.
you know, I see us heading towards home plate
yeah.
now, right? You know, we're around the dirt, we're heading
yeah.
towards home plate. So I think that we're pretty excited about the future. And I think our company has significant areas of growth available to us, considering the fact that we are providers.
Uh-huh.
We're not competing.
Right.
We're providing things for people to make money on.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's our business model, not
okay.
to compete with our client,
right.
to actually enhance our client.
I see. Well, Lee, congratulations on the completion of the test, and good luck in getting in and getting into the Venetian and Palazzo, M Club, and all the other casinos that are interested.
Thank you very much. Thanks for the time. Appreciate it.
Thanks for joining us on the Global Gaming Business Podcast. If you want to learn more about this or any subject, visit our websites at ggvmagazine.com or casinoconnection.com. To stay in touch with the industry, subscribe to Global Gaming Business Weekly, the industry's only comprehensive electronic news magazine delivered to your desk every Monday morning. Download subscription forms at the Global Gaming Business website. For now, thanks for listening to the Global Gaming Business Podcast.